There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Saturday morning. Look who's in the house. John Chapman is here. Let's go. Off and running on the Krug Show, Saturday morning style, brought to you by Pig and a Pickle. The best barbecue in all of Northern California is Pig and a Pickle. Check them out there in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week, from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. or until they run out. Pig and a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. We're also brought to you by Habas Law. And 49er football season is presented by Sleeper, the fastest growing fantasy platform in the world. It's a one-stop shop. You get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and of course, Sleeper Picks for daily fantasy. Use promo code Larry. Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. Links in the description. Terms and conditions do apply. John, good to see you, man. Niners Rams this week. Man, we got a lot to get to.
Man, I'll say this. If there's two games on the schedule that matter more than anything else, it's this game. It's week 18, Rams, Seahawks. This is a rivalry. This is a division. Both teams with six wins. Man, there's a lot on the line.
Why don't we start with, you know, the 49ers, obviously, in the first matchup, pulled a major upset, right? They beat the Rams. They looked really good in the process doing it. The question is, can they do it again? The spread went from 2.5 to 4.5. Is this a game that you think the 49ers have a chance to win, or are the Rams going to come to town and blow their doors off?
I think anytime you know your opponent so well in these divisional games, and look, McVay and Shanahan have been coaching against each other at least two games a year since 2017. Everybody knows what's going to happen schematically and kind of what's the goal is and what they're trying to accomplish. That narrows the playing field. It's fighting against your cousin. You know what I mean? Like, you know what they're good at. And so the hate is there. The respect is there. You look at the teams and how healthy the Rams are, how injured the 49ers are, you would say no, but the divisional concept 100% changes just the way that this game's going to be played. It's going to be close, Larry. It's going to be a fight. Remember, last time the Niners won, they did not have George Kittle. They did not have Juwan Jennings, who had his best game of his career last year against this Rams defense.
You know, there's an awful lot of talk about what Mac Jones can do, what Brock Purdy can do. The Niners are Shanahan said yesterday he's going to talk with Purdy today to determine if he'll be active as the number two quarterback against the Rams. He also confirmed that Mac Jones will make the start. Jones has played really, really well. I don't know what do you make of what they're doing behind the scenes as far as Purdy? I mean, it seemed they could have had him back up the last couple of weeks. They've chosen not to. Would you want him to be the backup quarterback? That almost seems like a playoff thing. Like, you know, like if in the playoffs, if you, or a must win game, as opposed to just a regular season game in the midst of his comeback. I just don't know what to believe. They're saying an awful lot about Purdy. We haven't talked to him in a long time, so it's hard to really put a gauge on where he's at physically and what the best plan of attack is. I would like to see them keep him out until the bye week, because why not? I mean, why not? I mean, give it more time to rest than less. Shanahan's already stated that he won't be 100% at any point this year. So then it's a matter of when he comes back, can he get to the finish line? And I don't know if it's reasonable to think he can get to the finish line if you bring him back now, but if you bring him back after the bye week, maybe he can. And I, you know, this is all just speculation. Who knows? What's your read on their quarterback situation?
Until Brock can firmly plant and dive it, like drive into all of his throws, and until Brock can run at that GPS speed, what Shanahan's talked a little bit about, like until those two things happen, Brock Purdy's not Brock Purdy. So I don't want him as a backup. It would be different if it's the playoffs, you know, lose and go home. That's a different thing. I don't think that this is that, even though this is probably the most important game left on the schedule. No, it's kind of like Groundhog Day, Larry. Like, we've been here before. Like, the Sonny and Cher song comes on as soon as the alarm clock hits every single week. Ah, Brock Purdy's getting better. Brock Purdy's getting better. Limited. He's better than he was last week. Until he gets full practices in, I don't think, you know, and gets all those first team reps, like you talked about the bye week, there's no reason to change. And again, if Brock can't firmly plant and drive on his throws, and if he can't scramble with all of his off-scripted stuff, you stay with Mac Jones. Now, knock on wood here, but if there was an injury to Mac Jones, then I think you would pivot. But you don't have to do that right now when Tim's playing like he's playing. He's playing very, very well.
You know, Orlovsky came out this week and said they have a quarterback controversy, and all these people immediately were like squashing it, like, there's no quarterback. Just because you don't want there to be a controversy doesn't mean that there isn't one. To me, it's like they paid Brock Purdy, so it's not like there's a controversy of, well, who do they choose? You know, if they've chosen already and they've committed to Brock Purdy, and if they want to get out of Brock Purdy, they can, but it's not till after 2026. And, you know, there's a lot of time between now and then. But I do think that Mac Jones has played so well that it does add to the person who says, hey, there's controversy. There potentially is controversy, but there isn't right now because Purdy's out and he can't play. And I think Purdy's the better quarterback when he's at 100%. But as you said, if he can't drive the ball down the field, if he's lost a little bit of accuracy, and if he doesn't have the escapability or the mobility that he had prior, he's not the same guy. And if he's not the same guy, Mac Jones is better than a Brock Purdy, who's not that accurate, not that, you know, doesn't have requisite arm strength and can't get away. I mean, Brock Purdy, and if he doesn't have his full mobility, he's not the same person as a player, because that's part of what makes him the player that he is that he has got explosive escapability. Not just he can get away from you, he can get away from you pretty much at ease. Well, he can't any longer, and not with this injury. And that's pretty clear. So I don't know. I mean, I don't want to see him out there until he's 100%, but I do think if you put him out there before he's 100% and he plays poorly and Jones goes back out there again and does what Jones has done, which is play pretty consistently, then people are going to be like, I saw Brock Purdy, he's not good. I saw Mac Jones, he's better. And you're not going to really be able to argue with them because they will be speaking truth, because Brock is diminished from the player that he was because of this injury, based on at least what I see at practice. How would you play your hand here?
Yeah, I'll say this. If Brock Purdy was 100% healthy, he would be the guy. Right. But he's not, as you just said. So I think the only way that this would turn into a controversy is very similar to how you laid it out. Is if Brock comes back and plays poorly and Mac stays healthy. That is the only place. Like, even if Mac continued at this pace throughout the rest of the season, you go into the playoffs, you get a win or two in the playoffs, I still think it's Brock's team. I really, really do. And I think the positive way to look at this is you have the best backup quarterback in the NFL. You've gone 5-2 with the backup quarterback. That is a positive. You have him signed through next year as well. Now, Mac Jones hitting his incentives, he's getting that extra cash, he's rebuilding whenever he does sign with another team, which will happen eventually, he's going to get paid like Sam Darnold has. So I don't think that it's a negative. I would much rather, as a coach, have two quality quarterbacks I could trust than one, and when one of them's banged up, you go the other way. So there's definitely different ways you could spin this. ESPN's always going to spin towards the negative and towards controversy. That's what they've built their entire platform on recently, sadly. But like, No, this is positive. Like, the 49ers are better off with Mac Jones right now. I think that is evident. Until Brock is 100%, which might not even happen this year, that's fine. But guess what? You have these guys locked up for 2 years. You don't have to make that choice. The injury is making the choice for Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers right now, and you just ride with what you got. And whenever both are fully healthy, then that's something that you would deal with. But until Brock comes back, one, fully healthy, two, then plays poorly, and three, Mac Jones is healthy, then you could have that conversation. But right now, that's not a conversation to be had.
You know, it's interesting, too. It's like, I think Mac Jones has done something already this year that's really incredible. He walked into a locker room that wasn't his and stepped in for a starting quarterback who's quite popular and has been able to lead successfully because he's himself. It's everything's organic. Brock, he's got Brock's blessing. He's not treading on Brock. You know, he's saying all the right things. I asked Kubiak about it yesterday. Let's listen to what Kubiak had to say here. Oh, wait a second. I just shared. Then I said, stop sharing. Hold on. Here it is. This is Kubiak from yesterday when I asked him about Mac's ability to assert leadership in the room, despite the fact that he just showed up.
Jones has had obviously a really good year. You didn't know him, though, before he got here. How impressed are you with his ability to lead on a team where he's not the starting quarterback?
Really impressed. You know, to see a guy comes in here and they're not aggressively leading at first. They're getting to know guys. They're getting a feel for our culture and kind of where his role is. And he did that. He didn't step in and start demanding things. And he wasn't this kind of rah-rah guy. But as he's been on the field more and the way he's played, you can see him just, he gets more confident around his teammates. His teammates start to kind of take to him more as a leader. And he just kind of has a natural leadership to him. And it comes out in just how he plays. He doesn't force it. So it's been cool to see.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. The hard-hitting football action is even better with Prize Picks. The weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never gets old. So keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. My favorite thing about Prize Picks is just how quick and easy it is. You pick two stats, more or less. If they hit, you get paid. George Kittle, more or less than 49.5 receiving yards. Christian McCaffrey, more or less than 65.5 rush yards. It's that simple. Plus, you play Prize Picks to get action on football in more than 40 states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Prize Picks is the only app that offers stacks, meaning you can pick the same player up to three times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on Josh Allen's pass yards, rush yards, touchdowns? Now you can in the same lineup only on Prize Picks. So download Prize Picks app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. The holidays are upon us, and who in your family is the hardest to shop for during the holidays? Is it kids, partners, parents, in-laws? Well, Cozy Earth is a gift that they'll truly appreciate. We started with their sheets, and let me just tell you, I'm a super hot sleeper. The wife is exact opposite. Multiple blankets, dog curled up at her feet, whatever else. We went with Cozy Earth sheets. Both of us slept wonderful. It is absolutely off the charts. And here's what's crazy. They're promoting a 100-night refund, meaning you get the sheets, you can wash them, use them, wash them again, whatever else. 100 nights. If you don't like them, then you can return them. But I'm telling you right now, I don't think you're going to return them because they're just such high quality. And they stand behind their products. 10-year warranty. So once you feel the level of comfort, you'll want it to last a decade. And if something goes wrong, they'll take care of you. So Black Friday has come early at Cozy Earth. Right now, you can stack my code 49ers Rush, no spaces, 49ERS, RUSH, on top of the site-wide sale, giving you up to 40% off in savings. That's CozyEarth.com, code 49ers Rush, for up to 40% off in savings. These deals won't last long, so start your holiday shopping today. And if you get a post-purchase survey, be sure to mention that you heard about Cozy Earth right here on the 49ers Rush podcast. Wrap the ones you love in luxury with Cozy Earth. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. And it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Now, it's football season, and there's nothing more perfect for tailgating with your buddies or enjoying at home while watching the game. And with fast, free shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. So use code 49ers, that's 49ERS at checkout, for 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping. Or visit CigarsInternational.com/49ers and the discount will automatically apply. You got a buddy's birthday coming up and you don't know what to get them? Cigars International. You got Christmas gifts that people keep asking, what do you want? What do you want? You tell them. Go to CigarsInternational.com/49ers and get your gift there.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know that one guy in the group chat who had a five-leg parlay week one and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, Super Contest, Survivor Pools, Casino, Blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, it's subtle, but he's done a nice job with it, John. I mean, he's not, you know, it's not that he's like, as Kubiak said, he's not like walking in the room, rah, rah, follow me, guys. He's just been like, hey, I'm Mac. This is who I am. Everything's very natural. They got a good vibe in their quarterback room, which, you know, I remember Kay Stevenson said to me one time in the Canadian League, he's like, it's vitally important, you know, because he was talking personnel wise. We're having a personnel meeting in the offseason. He said, it's vitally important that the quarterback room on any football team have great chemistry. And his theory, John, was that eventually your quarterback room chemistry becomes the chemistry of the rest of your locker room. And so that if you have bad chemistry in your QB room, it's only a matter of time before it's bad chemistry in your locker room. I always thought it was a genius call by Kay. And basically what he's saying there is that it kind of, you don't ask the starting linebacker who his backup should be, but sometimes it's good to take, to at least find out how your starter feels about the guys who are the backups in that room. He says it makes all the difference in the world. I think we're seeing it kind of in real life here this year.
Yeah, it happened organically. Like Brock Purdy's like ho-hum, chill. He's not going to, you know, there's no toxicity to anything that is Brock Purdy. That's why so many people like him. One of the many reasons. But you talk about somebody that started more games than Brock Purdy and his backup, Mac Jones, throughout his NFL career so far. Like he's started more games. He's won the job, had playoff experience, lost the job, been a backup. He comes in, understands he's the number two, and how did he win the respect of the locker room? Pardon my French. Got his ass beat out there, played through 3+ injuries, picked himself up off the ground, and just kept going. That Rocky mentality that number 10 possesses. And George Kittle's talked about how he has a tight end mentality. That wins over teammates. It really, really does. So this isn't somebody that came in and shoved his nose in the forefront and was like, look at me, look at me, look at me. No, he goes out there and has one of his career games and says, this is Brock's team right afterwards, right? So like, whenever you're not doing the self-serving, you're not doing the look at me, look at me, look at me, that and you take your role and you do what you need to do that week and you focus on that week, which he has done, it's so simple. And so this team's dealt with a lot of quarterbacks ups and downs with Jimmy G, Trey Lance, you know, whatever else. I don't know, man. Like, you could find negatives if you want to about this quarterback situation. I look at it in its positives. Best backup quarterback in the NFL. He's going to get paid in the future. You're going to get a compensation, huge pick in the future. When Brock Purdy comes back, now you have two good quarterbacks. That's not a negative. The 49ers are 5-2 with the backup quarterback. The most injured team in the NFL. Like, that is why Mac Jones is working, is because it's just shoulder shrug. Let's go to work. You can hit me in the face as many times as you want. I'm going to keep getting up. How do you not respect that, Larry? Like, yeah. It's American underdog story.
No, it is absolutely a great story. Let's hit a couple other topics here. The 49ers special teams had a players-only meeting after week four, and Saran Neal, I guess, called for it, saying that the special teams unit was, you know, hey, we're bottom five. Brant Boyer, I guess, backed the move, seeing it as, you know, the players taking ownage of the situation. Saran Neal was his hand-picked special teams ace that he got paid in free agency in the offseason. But the Niners have been ranked in the top three in special teams DVOA ever since. Last year, they were 32nd in special teams. Currently, they're number two in special teams. A lot of this has to do with Eddie Pinheiro making field goals. But overall, I think we are finally seeing them start to get off the canvas and not be horrible on special teams, which is good. It's good to see.
There are three phases to the game. And, you know, my first coordinator job as a coach was special teams coordinator. So whatever I like, special teams is a big deal to me. I've broken down every single special teams play on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com for 4.5 seasons. And usually that's whenever I get the most heated and most four-letter words ever when I'm doing those film breakdowns. Not so much the second half this year. First, you know, the first 3 weeks, it was rough. And it was just like, well, third coordinator under Shanahan, same old story. It started to change. And a lot of it has to do with personnel. You talk to Eddie P. Dude, Thomas Morstead is a top five punter in the NFL this year. He has been consistently incredible. Yeah, you talk about guys like Luke Farrell, Curtis Robinson, Luke Gifford, like three elite. And you want to throw a Sierra Neal in there, I'm cool with that too. So the change in personnel, it has just correlated to positive special teams play. And teams have had a lot of negative against us. Like, you go back to the Rams week five, you go into overtime, they don't even kick it, you know, in the kickoff landing zone. You start at the 40-yard line in overtime. So, like, and we just saw the same thing happen last week. The Giants fired their kicker. Now we're playing the Rams. They just fired their kicker. Part of that is what you do, but you're also capitalizing on the mistakes of other teams. And let's not forget, week one, you had a different kicker, and special teams was god-awful. And now things are starting to hit. You got the best kicker in the NFL. You got a top five punter. You're handling things on punt, punt return, kickoff, kickoff return, kickoff, you know, kickoff coverage still a little suspect, but you're not giving up the big breaks, not giving up the big breaks. So the hidden yardage, giving your defense an extra first down to defend is huge. Giving your offense one less first down to get in scoring, that's huge. That adds up. Special teams has been delivering, I would argue, by far the best of the three phases for the 49ers. We're talking offense, defense, special teams. Special teams is king right now.
You know, Sky Moore had a play this last week where he let the ball bounce on the 13 and almost hit him in the leg, and then it almost got downed inside the five, and it went into the end zone. Outside of that play, you know, I have been impressed with that kid's courage. And I talked to him in the locker room this week about it. And I'm like, man, you don't go soft pedaling it through there. I go, you just bring it. I mean, you just go 100 miles an hour. And if you get blown up, you get blown up. It's like, you play the game like you're totally not afraid of getting blown up. And he looked at me and he's like, you know, man, but I do get blown up sometimes, don't I? And I'm like, yeah, you do, but you don't cough it up. And I go, what, how do you do that? You know, cause I, you know, from playing football, when you get hit, the natural thing is to release your hands and the ball to come out. It's something that you really have to focus on. He said, you know, at the point of contact, he looks at it as 3 points of contact on the ball. And as he's getting hit. So it's like, he's more apt to pop one loose or drop the ball or fumble if he gets hit when he's not expecting to get hit. But when he gets blown up, as long as he's anticipating the hit, he has one motion where he clutches the ball and brings it in tighter as he's getting smoked. But, I mean, what a tough job, man. What a tough
job. And I'd say, like, the only negative so far to Sky Moore is just the football IQ on when to field it and when not, whether it's punts, kickoff returns, you know, stop it, but he hasn't fielded the ball inside the five in a couple games. He hasn't fielded the ball in the end zone and returned it in a couple of games. But once he does, usually pretty positive. And even the one kickoff return where he went sideways and to get back to the 25, that was a left return setup. Like, he had no choice but crossing the field just because of the way you called the blocking scheme on that, because you don't know where they're going to kick it. It was just a good plan by the Giants there. But yeah, Sky Moore, not a negative. And 2 out of 3 weeks, you know, minimum 10 snaps on offense, but he's been a top rated player from PFF, like contributed in a positive way in his few offensive snaps, contributing in a positive way in his special team snaps. If this continues, you're going to be happy. If more mental mistakes happen, I do think Jordan Watkins is right there on that short list to step in there. But yeah, Sky Moore is doing his job.
Give me some keys to victory in this thing. The 49ers, you know, I thought the one thing that jumped out to me looking at the numbers, the Niners last year were 29th against the run. They're now 6th against the run, which makes sense. Almost all the guys that they drafted were guys that were good against the run, even though a lot of them are hurt at this juncture. But the Rams ran for 5 yards a carry in the first matchup. They just kind of quit on the run. Are they going to try to run it down the Niners' throat? Or, you know, it seems like a lot of these McVay-Shanahan games, McVay gets distracted from, hey, I'm driving a sports car, to, hey, I'm going to go try to see how tough I can show that I am against Shanahan. Do they run it? Do they pass it? Are they balanced? What's the Rams' offensive plan against the Niner D?
Man, I think a lot of passing. I think I could 100 with the lack of pass rush, even though the 49ers getting Bryce Huff back, I think through the air, right? And you look at week 5 when the 49ers won in overtime, whenever it came to clutch moments, they went power run up the middle, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it didn't pan out whenever it mattered most. I think, and you even heard McVay say, that's on me, should have kept the ball in Stafford's hands. Like, I think McVay is going to come out. I would not be shocked if, you know, 35 plus pass attempts from Matthew Stafford. He's got 2 top 10 wide receivers out there. He's having a hell of a year. Offensive line's pass protecting almost as well as anybody in the NFL. So I expect a lot of passes from Stafford. And shoot, Renardo Green coming off 2 of his best games of his career. You know, you're getting Tatum Bethune to step up and do what he needs to do in coverage. D Winners kind of, you know, going the wrong direction, sadly, this season, but hopefully that changes. So I think that's where the key matchup's going to be. Can the safeties for the 49ers contribute in a positive way? We know Malik can blow up screens and help in the run game and all that. Jair Brown gave up 2 touchdowns last week. Jair Brown gave up a touchdown the week before. Jair Brown has missed tackles all the time. His tackling's improving, but, like, can the 49ers safeties contribute in a positive way? Come up with a turnover. Come up with a pass breakup. Something, because the safety play for the 49ers has been really bad this year. No matter who's been back there, whether it's Pinnick, Siegel, Jair Brown, even Malik Mustafa's having some coverage issues. That's not really the strength of his game. But in the coverage game, can they deliver something positive instead of relying all this on the corners and backers? That's what I want to see. Can 27 or number 6 come up and have a huge positive play that could shift this game? Something that hasn't happened this year, Larry.
How did you feel about the deadline? The Niners, you know, the Niners before the deadline, the week before, got Keon White and Cleve Farrell. It's funny, the Niner apologist crowd, just like, if they had just made that trade, those moves on the day of the, you know, of the trade deadline day, Niner fans wouldn't have been upset. No, sorry, moron. Niner fans are pretty smart, and they know that Keon White's just mid, and they know that Cleve Farrell is mid, even though he played well and they needed more help than they got. And that why are people emotional and pissed off? Because people give a shit. And this team hasn't won a Super Bowl in 30 years, and they've got one of the best records in the league, and the whole league is mid, and everybody who makes the playoffs is going to have a shot to win the Super Bowl. And by the way, the Super Bowl is at your place, and they wanted to see the 49ers get the help that they absolutely needed, because if they lose Keon White this week, they're probably going to have to poach somebody off a practice squad. I mean, that's the situation they're in, and yet the apologist crowd is all over, like, you know, these Niner fans are emotional. These Niner fans. Yeah, they give a shit. They travel. They're invested. I mean, I think it says great things about 49er fans. And Lynch is smart enough to understand it. He's like, hey, we love the passion of our fans. Yeah, you're gonna go at your most ardent, passionate fans who want to see you get better, and you're going to yell at them because they wanted to see you get better. I mean, how stupid is that? So Lynch obviously steered clear of that, but obviously some of the other yes man crowd in the content creator column are just all over these. Let's align with the Niners.
It's the bootlicker fallacy, my friend.
Like, it's so
no matter
bad.
What they do, it's the best decision ever. And here's what I would say is like, well, then why were the 49ers like, you heard John Lynch say we had offers out there, but we weren't going to overpay. So the fact that that statement alone exists means the 49ers understood that, hey,
they need
this team. Yeah. But and I'm fine with the not overpaying. I love the fact too. That they don't overpay. And yeah. It has worked out. You remember the Chase Young deal where John Lynch said, man, we went to bed and we were holding firm. We didn't think we were going to get them. We woke up the next morning. They agreed to it. Like, I don't mind the, hey, this is what we're going to pay. We're not going to bend over backwards and overpay. Like, dude, what the Jets and the Colts did, that messed the markets up because you saw massive overpay after, and then the Cowboys massive overpay. And so everybody was just kind of like, well, maybe we can get crazy stuff too. I think that kind of messed it up, but that doesn't change the fact that this team needed help. And I think that it's a little bit of a testament to the 49ers see the answer as coming from inside the house with players returning from injury instead of adding new talent. That's been hard because even though players have been injured and returned, they've also been re-injured. Whether that's Etern Gross Matos, you look at Jacob Cowing, Ricky Pearsall, Brock Purdy. Like, you're not handling stuff from rehab and strength and conditioning and injury handling of situation. Would have been nice to add just some depth pieces because that, Larry, you and I were talking all offseason about how the depth on this roster is suspect at best at certain positions. And now even more so. Now, the 49ers have had a lot of people come in. I mean, you're getting starting caliber play from Sam Okwuanu. That wasn't planned for. Jake Tonjes, that wasn't planned for. Connor Colby, that wasn't planned for. But you've made it to this point, and a lot of it's because of quality coaching, great special teams, and a weak schedule. We're about to see how that's going to play out against a top team. The Rams are a top team, period. You beat them once. Can you do it again? Can you steal another one away? I hope they do, and I'm pulling for them. But, man, you look at this roster, these rosters, and it's just like they don't match up, man. But if the coaching and some people deliver some, you know, the ball bounce your way a couple times, protect the ball, no turnovers, you had to be +2 in the turnover margin week 5 to win in overtime. You're going to have to play out of your mind this weekend.
You know, I think the people that are like, hey, you know what, this is good that they didn't make a move. I don't think those people would be saying that if this is their best team, and nobody can read the future. So yeah, like everybody's assumption is, yeah, don't do anything this year because Warner's out, Bosa's out. Yeah, but guess what? Next year, you may not even have Robert Saleh. Next year, you may not even have Trent Williams. And who knows how injured you're going to be next year, as many of your core players are a year older. So it's like, yeah, if you told me that next year the Niners are going to be full and they're going to be totally, you know, at full stretch and full throttle and full health, and they're going to have another rookie class and everything, yeah, then I can totally get it. Yeah, maybe they should just, you know, play out the year and hold on to their assets. but nobody can make me that guarantee. Nobody can guarantee me that next year's Niners are better than this year's Niners. And if they're worse, and who knows, maybe next year one of these teams is a juggernaut. Right now, you're in a league where there doesn't look like there's a juggernaut. And you do have a lot of future Hall of Fame players on your roster that are in the twilight of their career, the Kittles and the CMCs and the Trents. And there's no guarantee that those guys are going to, you're going to get to November or December next year, and those guys are going to be even on the team or active or contributing. So I guess from that standpoint, I'm more like, hey, be aggressive, seize the moment, trade a 2027 day three pick and see if you can get a, you know, just some help, just a live body. The third string Jets guy, I thought would have helped the 49ers. I think there were definitely the Arden Keys of the world who I thought were gettable. But I don't know, maybe Jed said, you know, we're not spending any money. They were 26th in undrafted free agent spending, despite the fact they dominate that area. So maybe there's just been an overall belt tightening by the ownership, and Lynch and Shanahan don't want to throw him under the bus or blame him. So they're just going to be kind of trying to make sense of it and make it seem like it's their own plan on the fly. This week, Bryce Huff is back, but Jake Brendel's back. Are you surprised that Brendel has been reinserted, considering that Hennessy played pretty well in his stead?
Hennessy dominated Dexter Lawrence for an entire game. Like, that is unbelievable. Like, one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL, 61, handled his business the entire game. Dexter Lawrence had one pass rush pressure and one tackle. That was it, the entire game. And now you're going to hand the ball back to Jake Brendel. How did he play the last time we played the Rams? Anybody know? Got destroyed by every single interior player that they had. Every single one of them. The run game has not worked under Jake Brendel. You bring in 61, guess what? And I'm not saying that Matt Hennessy is amazing or that he's the long-term answer, but you know exactly what 64 is, and the 49ers are making a costly mistake. This is the major negative to Chris Foerster and to Kyle Shanahan, their loyalty program. If you're their buddy, Debo wants the ball more. We're going to force it to him, even if he can't catch it, even if he can't separate from man coverage. If Debo wants it, he's our guy. And Jake Brendel's their guy. This is a major mistake. I hope he goes out there and dominates. Team got worse, sadly. And I don't want anything negative for Jake Brendel, but it's just, man, you've got 3.5 years of tape. He has struggled against the point of attack. Puna Ford and Kobe Turner are two of the strongest defensive linemen in the NFL who have constantly destroyed 64. I do not understand this one bit, not one iota.
Ricky Pearsall continues to not be back, and it doesn't look like he's getting back. He's not practicing. You know, the Niners are like, hey, we're not disappointed. It's just a PCL thing that's lingered. But I mean, at this point, I mean, how could they not be disappointed?
He hasn't played since September. It's 6 weeks now that he's been out, and it doesn't seem like he's even close to returning. And Kyle Shanahan talked about his GPS numbers and how they're off and all that stuff. But like, man, it's concern. Brandon Ayuk, is he even going to play this year? Like, again, the whole idea was once we get to November and we're at full strength, but Brock never returned so far. Pearsall never returned so far. Ayuk hasn't returned so far. Etur Gross Matos hasn't returned so far. Like, and so, like, the guys that you were counting to come and reestablish and kind of get back to full strength, all of them are just like an ellipsis, dot, dot, dot right now. Like, every single week, when the Wednesday practice report comes out next week, do you think Ricky Pearsall is going to be practicing? I don't.
No.
I don't. And I hope I'm wrong, because, gosh, you need some quality wide receiver play because you're not getting it very consistently. Shout out to Kendrick Bourne. He's doing everything that he can. Juwan Jennings coming off one of his better games this year. But consistency throughout this roster has been lacking. You get some quality players on the outside, it will help everything. I don't know when the reinforcements are going to arrive. You didn't trade for any, like we talked about. This season, you're 6-3, Larry. Like, the sky is not falling, but the writing is on the wall. And you get, you know, 2-3 games go the wrong way. Now you're paying attention to conference winning percentage and division winning percentage and all those things. You go win this game, all those questions are relatively answered with a 7-3 record and 4-0 in the division. And the 49ers currently have the most conference wins. There's a lot of positives. You look at the roster and the injuries, it's like, ah, it kind of balances that out. And so Niners need to go get this one, man.
It's a big one for sure. If the 49ers get it, they will have a commanding lead inside the division and a great situation inside the conference as they head for the final stretch of the year. And, of course, that includes their bye week. Let's hit a couple supers before we bolt for the door here. I'm on KMBR at 10. Sorry, we got in here a little late today. Stefan says, do the Niners now have the best traveling fan base?
Yes.
I think yes. This guy right here is a big part of that.
Yes.
John, I mean, it's unbelievable. The Niners didn't travel like this in the Montana era. The Niners didn't travel like this for Steve Young. Heck, Colin Kaepernick and the Harbaugh Niners didn't have this kind of support on the road. And yet they all had a hand in the support that you're seeing right now.
100%. You always talk about like the Steelers, the Cowboys, like those are the traveling teams. Well, this 49ers fan base took over Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh 2 years ago when you blew them out and all the Steeler fans were pissed. I was there. I've been to Cowboys Stadium for that playoff win where we took over the entire top end of the stadium and all the Cowboys fans were pissed because we were there. So at worst, the 49ers are amidst the best traveling. But recently, if you look at the last 6-7 years, there is nobody that travels better than the 49ers. Not even close.
No. What's your next trip that you have planned for the group?
Arizona next week. So this week you've got, you know, back-to-back division games. You got Rams at home. Then in Arizona, we're going to be out at the Westgate District. We'll be at Salt Tacos and Tequila in the Westgate District right next to the stadium. One of our best tailgates because we do an indoor tailgate where we can watch all the early games, unlimited drinks, Mexican food, premium drinks, bar, everything's covered. All you got to do is go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com or you can just go on the Tick Pick app, type in 49ers Rush, our event show up. We'll also be in Indianapolis. We'll also be in Cleveland. Every road game, we are there. The frequent flyer miles, they are flying, Larry.
Yeah, good stuff right there. And there's John's flyer. We have it right there for you on the screen. Check that out, and we're going to try to get travel a little bit in the playoffs if the Niners travel in the playoffs. Tommy Huxley says, grossly overpaid, Matos is done.
Yeah, should have kept Floyd, man. That was a terrible decision.
Yeah, gross Matos was a favorite of Lynch's, I think. Stefan says, run game seems better with Hennessy, less pressures, and he's younger, yet seems Brendel's about to start again. What is this infatuation with Brendel? Yeah, they love Brendel. I mean,
that's nothing to do with film, I can tell you that. It has to do with attitude, and Brock Purdy's best friend, and Kyle Shanahan and Chris Forster love him. That's it. Can't go off film.
I think it's a lot about Forster, to be honest. Tommy Huxley says, what do you know? Anyone in an upgrade? Anyone is an upgrade on Brendel. They obviously don't see it that way, or at least internally. Silence is, what's the genius behind using wide receivers to block defensive ends, especially when you're on the wrong side of that defensive end? I mean, that was the other thing. You're blocking what, towards the quarterback, JJ? I mean, that was his, I think he's referring to the block that we all saw about on Danielle Hunter, which was.
The idea is you're supposed to wall. You're not supposed to block him. You're supposed to get your hands on the hips and just stop him from going that direction. Like, you're just supposed to slow him down. But the timing and tempo was off, and Danielle Hunter will wreck X's and O scheme. That dude is a beast. He's like freaking Bigfoot out there playing football. He's a beast.
He's absolutely amazing. By the way, we're brought to you by Habas Law. Omar and Tariq Habas are great guys. They're fantastic lawyers. They're relentless attorneys. They don't back down until justice is done. When you're hurt, insurance companies always try to dodge. They don't let them dodge. They're official partners of the Giants, the Earthquakes, San Jose State, Santa Clara. So they're very rooted here in Northern California. So if you need someone in your corner, call the firm. The law firm insurance companies hope you never call. And that's Habas Law. They'll fight to make it right. Visit them on the web at habaslaw.com. And thanks to Omar and Tariq Habas for being proud sponsors of the Krug Show. Yeah, we just threw that one and we got all of our supers in there. So that's going to do it for us. Kind of a brief version of the show today because I got in here a little late, had a little technical issue with the mic. Hopefully everything went smooth. John, great stuff, man. Good to talk to you. We won't talk to you next week because you'll be traveling, but we'll talk to you the week after, I believe. Always good to see you, man, and I'll give you the final word.
Yeah, man, Larry, I just want to say thank you for what you do for the community. I know you're heading over to the radio, just you work your ass off and it is appreciated. And whenever I go on these road trips and I meet people, like Larry is like, dude, I found you because of Larry Krueger. I love Larry. And like, that is the common theme. And you are such a lovable guy, man. Appreciate the family and just all that the Krugers do. For 49ers fan, enjoy this game. This is a big game. You win this game, you are a playoff favorite, period. You lose this game, there's going to be a lot of questions and kind of what's next and all those things. But let's go get it done. Larry, thank you so much. And for all the Niners out there, stay strong, faithful.
That's great stuff. I'm going to say I'm going to take the Niners. I really feel like the Rams could win this game. But you know what? I'm going to take the Niners. And I like the 49ers in kind of an under game, kind of a lower scoring game. I think the 49ers are going to run the ball. I think they're going to run it a lot. I think they're going to play complimentary football. They're going to play keep away from Stafford. They're going to try to convert third downs. Jones was successful. If he's successful in this one, I think a similar kind of thing could happen. The Rams are going to be really, really good. But I'm going to say 49ers win it. A close one. I'll say low scoring 21-20. I was saying 28-27 early in the week. I'll go 21-20 Niners. Somehow, some way, they get it done. Have a great day, everybody. Catch me on the radio in 3 minutes. See ya.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.